What is true freedom? That's the topic on today's edition of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay right where you are. It starts now. Hey there. Welcome to the show. Come on in and sit down for a minute. I'll be with you in just a second. Boy, nothing like being prepared for the start of your own show. Welcome to another week of the Gary Zimak Show. It is a thrill to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'll be hanging out with you for the next 30 minutes on today's program. In addition to looking at the daily mass readings, we'll take a look at true freedom from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What is true freedom? Sometimes we get a mistaken idea of what freedom really is, but we're going to talk about what it is today. On every Monday on the program, we look at what Catholics really believe. We've been walking through the Catechism of the Catholic Church using the Compendium of the Catechism, which is a really good book. If you're interested in learning what the Church teaches, and you may find 900 pages of the Catechism to be a little overwhelming, and it can be. It's a great book, but you might find it overwhelming. The Compendium of the Catechism, which was published by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, breaks the material down into a question and answer format, similar to the way the old Baltimore Catechism used to work. So I use it on this program because I think it works good for what we do here for the purposes of the radio. We will do that. We will do the daily mass readings. And I just want to let you know that I will be, probably as you're listening to this, I am speaking at St. Charles Borromeo Parish in Cinnaminson, in New Jersey. I guess if you have a chance, if you hear this, you want to run over there, if you're in the area, that'll be great. But if not, just know that I would love to speak at your parish. I speak at parishes around the country. I've spoken in Canada as well. And I just booked a parish mission for next year, for 2016, in Maryland. So keep that in mind if your parish wants to bring me in, either to do a parish mission or to do a retreat or a one-hour talk, whatever it is, whatever your needs are. Get in touch with me at followingthetruth.com. You can also email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. On my website, followingthetruth.com, there is a list of my most popular speaking topics, so you can get an idea about the subject matter that I could discuss. I would love to come to speak at your parish, so please let me know. Let's see, do I have any other news? Not at the moment. We just have some good things to talk about today. Oh, I do have to let you know before I pray, my beverage du jour. Man, I got a good one. I hit the jackpot today. Here we go. Now, that is good. I've never had this before on the program, and I haven't had this particular beverage in years. I was in the supermarket over the weekend. Now, I'm a big fan of sodas with real sugar. I know it's not good for you, but this is something that I remember from my childhood. It doesn't have the high fructose corn syrup. These sodas with real sugar, they're becoming more popular. They got a really good taste. So I managed to find a couple of bottles of 7-Up in a glass bottle. How about that? Boy, if you're anywhere near my age, you remember how good it used to taste drinking a soda in a real glass bottle. Got a bottle of 7-Up with real sugar. Also was able to get a bottle of RC Cola. Do you remember that? Sun-kissed orange soda and Canada Dry ginger ale, all made with real sugar. Great stuff, and I just may be debuting them on the program this week, so keep that in mind. I hope you've got a great snack. I hope you've got a good beverage. I hope you're ready to talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church, because I sure am. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the daily mass readings, which, by the way, are phenomenal today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you for giving us a great day. Another day to know you, another day to serve you, another day to love you. Father, help us to make the most of this gift that you have given to us. Please let us know whatever we can do to serve you. Please let us know more about you. Please help us to always remember to include you in everything that we do. Help us to be able to live in your presence. Father, we lift up those who are sick today, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt, or those who are struggling with despair, those who may be battling an addiction, those who are dealing with financial difficulty, those who are experiencing religious persecution or weather-related issues. Father, we lift them up. We ask you to bless them, to help them with their problems, and allow them to be peaceful, even in the midst of their suffering. Father, I ask you to bless each one of us who listens to this program, to bless our families, to help us to be strong in our faith so that we can share your good news with everyone we meet. I give this program to you. I ask you to speak through me. Please open our minds and our hearts to hear your words for us today. We also present to you our own personal intentions. We all have them, things that weigh us down, things that distract us, some things that just take our focus off of you. We ask you to help us with these things so that we can concentrate on you and really focus on your love for us each day. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My friends, thank you for tuning into the program. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. I'm not kidding. It's great to hang out with you. Great to talk about Jesus Christ and his church. I've been doing this program on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years now, and it's just an unbelievable privilege. I never thought it would last this long, but through the generosity of your contributions and your prayers, I'm still here. So I want to say thank you, and I want to continue to be here. So please keep praying for the work that I do. Pray for me. And if you're able to contribute to my apostolate to keep it going, I would ask you to visit followingthetruth.com. Click on the donate tab and please donate securely if you can, because I really need it and it really helps. So thank you for that. Let's look at the daily mass readings today. Again, I said we have some good ones. The first reading has been from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans for the past couple of days. We continue with that today. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 25. Brothers and sisters, Abraham did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God and was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do. That's why it was credited to him as righteousness. But it was not for him alone that it was written, that it was credited to him. It was also for us, to whom it will be credited, who believe in the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our transgressions, and was raised for our justification. Boy, you know what? It's so good that we're reflecting, or that St. Paul's reflecting on Abraham in his letter to the Romans, because Abraham was a great example of faith. We talk about a guy who really had strong faith and who believed in some pretty unbelievable promises from the Lord that he would have many descendants, even though he was in his mid-70s. And by the time his first son was born, Isaac, Abraham was 100 years old. So he hung on to this belief, kept on believing. If God promised it, he knew it would be true, and he kept moving forward, believing the Lord, even walking in darkness, which is really all of us were asked to do that at times. We can't necessarily see the way ahead with our eyes. We have to depend on our faith. That's what Abraham did. And Abraham, as a result, proved to us the power of faith. We look back at him, and because of Abraham's belief, first of all, we get an example of what it means to truly believe in the Lord and his promises, but also we got a Savior, because Abraham was the person that God chose to draw his people together. Abraham was the first one, and through Abraham, the Lord created a people, and through that people, the Israelites, we would be delivered a Savior one day. That Savior, Jesus Christ, has redeemed us and has opened the gates of heaven for us. So it's a great thing that Abraham did believe. Ask Abraham to help you if you're struggling. Ask him to help you to believe in the Lord's promises. And I'll tell you, if you look throughout the Bible, and you look at the promises that the Lord has made to his people, you will not find an example where he went back on his promises. He always came through. If you look back in your own life, you'll see how many times the Lord was there for you as well. It's good to look back sometimes because it helps us to remember just how good the Lord has been to us. If he was there for you in the past, if he was there for the Israelite people in the past, he's going to be there for us in the future. And that's a good thing. And that should help to build our faith. The responsorial psalm today is a little bit unusual. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. These are the words of the prophet Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, talking about the fact that John the Baptist would announce the beginning, the coming of the long-awaited Savior. So he was prophesying, this was prior to the birth of Jesus, he was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And a lot of times these psalms are chosen because they have a reference to the first reading or the gospel. In this case, we see the reference to the promise that was made to Abraham to set us free. So ultimately, eventually, because Abraham said yes, we were able to be set free. And the Savior came to redeem us. Again, that's a reference to Abraham. We should be thankful because Abraham did that for us. The gospel today is from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share his inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told him a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for so many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God.'" I'll tell you what, this is one of those gospels that you should read over a couple of times because it's that powerful. It's that strong of a message. There is a big tendency for us as humans to think, or really to desire security in life. We all desire security, but the problem is because we are material creatures, and really that's how we were created. We're created to be material creatures. We live in a material world. We depend heavily on our senses. We depend on material things sometimes more than spiritual things, which is a mistake. In our desire to seek security, what we do is we look at the wrong things to provide that security. Sometimes we think that if we could just hit the lottery and we could have millions of dollars in the bank, we wouldn't have to work, we wouldn't have to worry, we wouldn't have that concern about how am I going to pay my bills. And that's a problem because what happens is we really make a god of money and we feel secure. We do this in a number of other different ways too. We have to remember that it's an illusion. Money in the bank, good health. We are not any more in control of our lives than if we have no money in the bank and if we have been diagnosed with a serious disease. Ultimately, who's in charge? Ultimately, God's in charge. And that's what we really need to focus on. That's what we need to remember. This parable illustrates a problem that many of us fall victim to frequently. And we want to be careful that we are avoiding greed at all costs. Not only greed, but the idea of putting our faith in someone or something other than the Lord. We want to make sure that we put our faith in the Lord. You look at that first reading in St. Paul's letter to the Romans when he talks about Abraham. Abraham put his trust in God. And again, let me tell you, this is a common problem. Most of us have some degree of this problem in our lives right now. As someone who struggles financially, you know my story, being in full-time ministry, being the sole provider for my family, I'm very aware that I've got bills to meet, bills to pay, and I don't have a steady income stream coming in. That's why I'm dependent on donations. That's why I go out and I do speaking engagements. But it's not a steady job where every 2 weeks I get a paycheck. I did that for 30 years of my life. So I understand what that's all about. But I'll tell you, here's what I've learned. And I'm still learning it. I have learned that I am more peaceful now. And I trust in God more now than I ever did when I was working as a computer programmer, project manager, and getting a biweekly paycheck. Because I'm realizing now that I was never secure, even though I thought I was. And I also realized the beauty of having a personal relationship with Christ. I didn't have that before. Oh, sure, I went to Mass, but look, we've been hearing Jesus talk about the Pharisees for the past several weeks, about people who just went through the motions, who said the prayers with their lips but not with their hearts. Well, that was Gary Zimek. It's the way I lived my life. And was I happy? No, I was miserable. So I would just urge you to be cautious about this and look at your own life. You don't have to give away all your possessions. You don't have to get rid of all your money, but just be aware. Make sure your focus is on the Lord. And if you feel maybe you need to focus on him a little bit more, but you don't know how you're going to do it, ask him to help you. Ask him to help you out. Ask him to help you to trust him more. Remember, faith is a gift. Faith isn't something you can just force yourself to have. You can't just go out and buy some more faith. Faith is a gift. But if you start to do what Abraham did, maybe not to that extent, but start to trust in the Lord. Start to trust in him. Take little baby steps in trusting him. Pray for things that you need. Maybe give a little bit more to charity, if you can afford it, in the hopes that you'll learn to trust him a little bit more. Because we have this tendency sometimes to stockpile money, figuring that if I've got X number of $1,000 in the bank, I'll be secure just in case. I'm not advocating that you don't save. It's very smart to save. It's good to save for a rainy day. That's a prudent use of your intellect to be able to budget for the future. Totally a good thing to do. But when you get to the point, and what is that point? I don't know. That's different for each one of us. When you get to that point where you are just hoarding money, money that starving children can use to eat, money that people who are homeless can use. You know, when you're just hoarding the money, just in case you might happen to need it someday, then that could be a problem. But the only way you're ever going to figure that out about what that level is, that level should be, is to just have that relationship with the Lord and make sure you're speaking to him every day. But realize that if you do trust him, maybe by giving a little more to charity, maybe by volunteering some of your time at church, maybe by reaching out to someone who you'd rather not reach out to. And those things require stepping out in faith. If you do that a little bit more, your faith will grow as the Lord will respond. You do something for him, he's going to respond. You do something good, somehow you will get something back. Not necessarily money all the time, but you will get something back. You'll get some grace back. And by doing that, you'll eventually grow in faith. That's the process. You do that enough, and you're going to start to be doing things all of a sudden that you never would have thought possible. I have to be honest, I never had any desire to work for myself. I only wanted to work for other people because I was a coward. I was not an entrepreneur. I was not somebody who wanted to start a business on my own. And for the past 4 years, through God's grace, I've been working in the craziest business I would have ever, you know, you think of crazy businesses. A full-time Catholic evangelist is a pretty crazy business for a conservative guy. But the peace is there. And that's because I know he's calling me to do this right now. So as someone who doesn't like to take risks, I can tell you that stepping out in faith is rewarded. Just don't do anything crazy. That's the thing. You don't want to go completely overboard. You still want to use some common sense. But if you want to grow closer to the Lord, if you want to grow in faith, you will have to eventually take some risks and learn to trust Him. He will reward you. All right, if you have questions, feel free to email me, gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to take a look at the catechism now, and we'll talk about this idea of true freedom. Sometimes we think that freedom is doing whatever we want. That's not freedom. Okay, we're in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Compendium of the Catechism, Part 3. This is all about life in Christ, life as members of the Church. We're going to look at the question of what is freedom. Now, if you happen to have this book at home, it's question number 363. What is freedom? Freedom is the power given by God to act or not to act, to do this or to do that, and so to perform deliberate actions on one's own responsibility. Freedom categorizes properly human acts. The more one does what is good, the freer one becomes. Let me read that again because that's key. The more one does what is good, the freer one becomes. Freedom attains its proper perfection when it is directed toward God, the highest good, and our beatitude. Freedom implies also the possibility of choosing between good and evil. The choice of evil is an abuse of freedom and leads to the slavery of sin. That is worded very nicely. The choice of evil is an abuse of freedom and leads to the slavery of sin. So even though we might think we're free, we're exercising our freedom by doing evil, what happens is we are being enslaved to sin, and ultimately we're not free. What is the relationship between freedom and responsibility? Freedom makes people responsible for their actions to the extent that they are voluntary, even if the imputability and responsibility for an action can be diminished or sometimes canceled by ignorance, inadvertence, duress, fear, inordinate attachments, or habit. So freedom makes it possible for us to be responsible for our actions. When I commit a sin, I'm responsible for that. There are some conditions that may minimize or mitigate that responsibility. But be careful about that. You don't want to fall back on this and say, well, anytime I sin, it's because I'm weak and therefore I can do it. You got to be really careful about that. Because when you face the Lord in judgment one day, and you're going to face Him, you're going to have to answer some hard questions. And He's already going to know the answers. Don't put yourself in a position where you will have to try to explain, because you won't be able to, why you sinned, even though you knew better. You know, just be really careful about that. It's not to scare us. I mean, the church doesn't teach us these things to scare us. The church helps us to get to heaven. Christ and His church, Christ founded a church, I should say, so that it can help us get to heaven. That's the purpose. Paragraph 360, or question 365, why does everyone have a right to exercise freedom? The right to the exercise of freedom belongs to everyone because it is inseparable from his or her dignity as a human person. Therefore, this right must always be respected, especially in moral and religious matters, and it must be recognized and protected by civil authority within the limits of the common good and a just public order. As Catholics, we are seeing more and more that our right to religious freedom is being restricted. Will that increase? Will that restriction increase? I would say probably in the years to come. Just be aware. Just be careful when you vote. Because that religious liberty, it's a really important right that we have in the United States. We want to be careful that we're not forced to give up our religious liberty. But also, you can't force somebody to convert against their will. You can't impose. You can proclaim the good news. You are supposed to do that as a Catholic. Yeah, absolutely. But you got to be careful about forcing somebody to do something that goes against their will. That doesn't go for children. Your children, if they don't want to go to Mass, you don't want to say, okay, that's fine. No, if they're children, if they're minors, you bring them to Mass because that's how you teach them. But, you know, you can't force somebody to be baptized. You can't force somebody to do the right thing. You could pray for them, you could tell them, but you have to respect their freedom. What place does human freedom have in the plan of salvation? Our freedom is weakened because of original sin. This weakness is intensified because of successive sins, all these sins that we've committed through the years. Christ, however, set us free so that we should remain free, Galatians 5:1. Now, with his grace, the Holy Spirit leads us to spiritual freedom, to make us free co-workers with him in the church and in the world. When is an act morally good? An act is morally good when it assumes simultaneously the goodness of the object, of the end, and of the circumstances. If some of these get a little too deep, I'm going to just gloss over some things. I want to give you the general concepts, but I don't want to blow you away with a lot of detail. A chosen object can by itself vitiate an act in its entirety, even if the intention is good. It is not licit to do evil so that good may result from it. Boom, there's your takeaway right there from this question. It is not licit to do evil so that good may result from it. You cannot, in good conscience, perform an evil act, even if good will result from it. It's still evil. Please keep that in mind, because this can be a challenge for us. Sometimes we get these ideas that it's okay to commit a sin because maybe some good can result from it. When we do that, you know what we're doing? We're not trusting God. We're saying to God, I've got to help you out. There's no way, Lord, that you can bring good from this, so I'm going to lie. I'm going to do something that I know is not right, but it's the only thing I have. It's the only choice I have. It's not the only choice you have. It's more difficult to do the right thing. But remember, it is not licit to do evil so that good may result from it. An evil end corrupts the action, even if the object is good in itself. On the other hand, a good end does not make an act good if the object of that act is evil. Since the end does not justify the means, circumstances can increase or diminish the responsibility of the one who is acting, but they cannot change the moral quality of the acts themselves. They never make good an act which is in itself evil, even if you have good intentions. You don't want to do anything that is immoral. And that's something that can be challenging. Are there acts which are always illicit? There are some acts which in and of themselves are always illicit by reason of their object. For example, blasphemy, homicide, adultery, always evil acts, no matter what. Choosing such acts entails a disorder of the will, that is, a moral evil, which can never be justified by appealing to the good effects which could possibly result from them. Now, we're out of time, but next week on the program, we're going to take a look, we'll continue with this, and look at the passions and then move into conscience, which is one of my favorite topics. So you definitely don't want to miss that. I want to thank you for tuning into the show. If you have questions, please let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. On tomorrow's show, God willing, I'm going to be back here. And in addition to the daily Mass readings, we will look at The Imitation of Christ, that great book by Thomas A. Kempis. I hope you'll be able to join me for the program. Tomorrow we'll look at one way that we can imitate Christ. Boy, that catechism, that is good stuff. Definitely, I would recommend that you get yourself a copy and you're familiar with what the church teaches. It's going to really help you out. Because remember, Christ still speaks through his church, even in 2015. Amazing, isn't it? He's not going to let us be alone. He's going to help us. I hope you have a great night. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. I hope that you will be back here tomorrow with your snack and your beverage in hand, and I will have a new beverage du jour for you to talk about on the program tomorrow. God bless you. Take care. See you later.